We're just in south of Port Tumna here in North Tipperary, which is just on the banks of the Shannon.
Loch Derg nearby.
Yeah, Loch Derg, just as the Shannon meets Loch Derg. Yeah, we're at a castle which is fairly isolated. It's out of the way and it's very close to the Shannon. There's a lot of wetland around, and where we are at the moment, we're just kind of walking towards the castle and track along pasture. And there's also some broadleaf woodland which fringes the castle.
For walkers, it's nice to be able to go for a walk and look at the landscape and,
yeah.
and wonder and guess what kind of wildlife species live in that landscape. And
yeah.
with barn owls, it's quite easy. I mean, they like forestry, they like water, and they like things like the castle in front of us. They like derelict, old ruined
they
castles.
They do, yeah, they do. Exactly. I mean, it's perfect for barn owls just looking because how isolated it is. They search for a dry, secluded spot for their nest sites. So, I mean, they do nest in trees, but where you do find them in trees, they need to be old, mature trees. The majority of nest sites in Ireland are located in castles as well. Oh, they choose old ruins, derelict buildings, farmhouses.
But a couple of weeks ago, I was walking outside of Kilkenny and came across an old ruined castle beside a water source near
yeah,
a forest.
Exactly.
So I went in and found two old barn owl nests.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
it's a sure bet, really, that you'll see.
It is, as I said.
One.
Yeah. As I said, it's the most popular choice from their point of view, old castles. They seem to be the ideal choice for their nest sites, and it seems to be the best bet, as you say, to, I mean, checking out an old castle to come across them. The way you know if barn owls are present in an area, if you don't see them and you're looking in an old building you think might be suitable, is that there might be a build-up of pellets. Owls have a low acid content in their stomach, so they can't digest the hard parts of their prey, of the small mammals, such as the bones, the claws, the fur and the teeth, so they cough them up as pellets. And if the owls are using a building or an area for any length of time, there should be quite a build-up of pellets there.
I read somewhere about a gentleman in America. He set up a company called Pellets Inc.
Okay.
And he took all the pellets of barn owls and sold the idea to schools to go around and teach young kids about anatomy. The reason being that pellets are full of all these interesting
yeah.
old bones.
Well, that's a very good idea. You'd expect to find when you break up a pellet, really, is the skulls, the bones, the teeth, the hard parts and fur of the animals that has been preying on. And
to the mice and the rats.
Exactly,
and
yeah, exactly. You get quite a good indication of exactly what the barn owl has been feeding on just by looking at the pellets. They generally cough up two pellets per night, and one is generally at the roost site and then one over its foraging ground, over its hunting ground. So by collecting the pellets at the roost site, breaking them down and having a look at the vertebrate contents, you can get a fairly good, reliable indication of exactly what it's been preying on.
So they basically vomit up the contents of their stomachs, so
they
the stuff that they can't digest.
Lovely, isn't it? Yes, that's exactly what they do, yeah.
And so if you go into an old ruined castle and you see these, they're quite large, these
they
pellets,
are, they're
aren't
about
we'll
maybe
see them
the
in
size of a man's thumb, and even thicker than that, so yes. Well, we can have a look at some of them now in the castle itself, but now they are quite large and they would be quite obvious.
And right about, I don't know, 20, no, 100 metres in front of us, I'm not very good on distance, is a derelict castle which has no roof on it.
No, in this actual castle now they're nesting up in the chimney space of this castle. But there is plenty of crevices, plenty of places for the barn owls to go. In this particular castle there are three owlets. When I was here the last time, they're at a late enough stage of development, so hopefully they'll still be here. And just as it gets slightly darker, we should be able to hear them. We should hopefully see them emerge from the castle.
What we're looking for is the barn owl.
Yep.
The barn owl would be common to people from the Late Late Show. It's not common. I mean, for me, I've seen it once or twice and that's it. It's a difficult bird species to spot.
It is. It's a strange bird. It's a very characteristic and much loved farmland bird. And even though, as you say yourself, people don't often encounter it, it's still a very well-known bird. But as you say, you don't often see the barn owl. They're nocturnal, so they prefer to roost during the day and they emerge just in and around this time at dusk to forage for prey, then spend the day in their roost site. So you don't often encounter them. When you do, it's generally just a fleeting glimpse, just as you see it drive across your car as you're driving.
The barn owl is one of how many species of owls in Ireland?
There's only two resident species of owl. There's the barn owl and the long-eared owl. The long-eared owl is more of a woodland bird that uses old corvid nests, which are old magpie or jackdaw or rook nests, as its nests. So you would possibly hear and see the long-eared owl more than the barn owl, especially nowadays.
And the barn owl, presumably, the word barn, they used to be found in barns and
farmyards.
Exactly,
yeah. Possibly one of the reasons that they have such a place close to our affections is that they traditionally nested in close proximity to people. They do use old farm buildings, old derelict buildings, and buildings such as this, such as the castle here.
And are they particularly common around this part of North Tipperary?
This area and further south of the country seems to be the kind of the best area for barn owls. They're quite scattered and dispersed up around the north and west of the the country. So definitely, yes, down along Tipperary, down towards Cork, Wexford, Waterford, that area seems to be the best area of the country for a barn owl. It seems to be their stronghold, really.
And the castle is just to the left of us here, and we're in this beautiful rolling landscape of North Tipperary with huge oak and all these native trees around us. And the barn owl comes out around this time, which is as the night falls.
I was here 3 nights ago and there's 3 barn owl chicks. They should be beginning to get vocal in the next 10 minutes or so, and then hopefully we'll get some good views before the light fades completely of them. At this stage they just kind of, they won't leave too far from the nest site, so they should just be flying between the trees and back and forth within the castle itself. So the three owlets should still be in the nest site.
So we'll go on down and see if we can get in first. It seems to be an old farmyard around it as
is,
well.
There's just an old barn here as well, yeah. But as I say, it's quite out of the way, so it's not, very few people come down here. It's not really on the, it's off the beaten track, let's say.
And it's got no roof, but it's covered in old, lovely old ivy
it
inside
is,
it
yeah.
as well.
Yeah. Just grab this gate.
Thank you. And for people who are interested in doing exactly what we're doing, what kind of tips would you give people who want to come across an old castle and want to spot them?
Basically, well, I mean, if you see signs like that and you find fresh pellets, then you know the barn owls are using the site quite regularly. But I mean, then other than that, if you can just sit outside a building, if you know there's barn owls in there just before dark, and you're pretty much guaranteed a site.
Hopefully we'll be able to hear them because they make quite a racket.
They do. At this time of year, the young should be begging for food as soon as they get up and out and about, and it's quite similar to a snoring sound, really, or a hissing sound. The last time I was down here, they were quite vocal and quite noisy, so we should have no problems hearing them whatsoever.
And is it the male and the female who look after the young?
It is, yeah. The courtship in barn owls generally begins early on in the year, about February or March, and it's at that stage that you're inclined to hear the long drawn out screech for which the barn owl is famed. That's generally the courtship call between the male and the female. The female generally lays the eggs early on in April, and at that stage the male brings her all her food during incubation, so he's quite well behaved indeed.
He's very well behaved.
He is.
Male owls are wonderful.
They are, they're put in their place here, aren't they? But the female will stay with the eggs all the way through incubation. The male does all the hunting.
And I gather, am I right in saying that what does she do? She refuses to do anything if he doesn't
bring
food.
She does, she sits tight, she minds the eggs, and that's all she does, and she gets well fed for it.
And she won't go out and feed herself.
She won't,
he
no.
Has
she's
to look
yeah,
after her.
Yeah, he brings all the food at during incubation, right? Yeah. With this, you can imagine that the eggs hatched early May. The eggs hatch after about 30 days. Once the young get to a certain stage of development, the female starts hunting as well. So the male and female will start bringing the food back to the young. You should see that generally the chicks will be perched up on top of the chimney there, and the female will actually bring the food back to the nest site and feed the chicks there.
I remember being in Kilkenny about 6 years ago and sitting in an old ruined castle waiting for an owl to come. And then we saw one and it was just amazing. I mean, it's like seeing a satellite dish so white.
Yeah, yeah.
And a remarkable
sight. Beautiful bird to look at. They really are amazing. I mean, when you just view them from underneath, they appear almost ghostly white. They've got very, very beautifully amazing plumage. They're honey-coloured on their upper parts and, as you say, completely ghostly white underneath.
And the plumage makes them look a lot heavier than they actually are.
It does, it
does.
They're not a very heavy bird, and they have quite a large wingspan. They've got long, broad, rounded wings, and this gives them, they have quite a slow, wavering flight. So if you see them while they're hunting, they are quite slow flying, and they fly quite low to the ground as they're foraging for prey.
So we'll go in and just see if we can spot some signs of them. And there's a wooden gate in front of it.
Just get this obstacle out of the way.
Thank you. And we'll go on in. Okay, so we're in the centre. It's quite it's not very high, is it, this castle? I mean, it's about, I don't know how high, about 25 metres or so?
It is. It's not too high, no, but as you can see, the walls are so thick, and that, I mean, there's a chimney space there and also over there, so there is plenty of spots for them to be. It's perfect from a barn owl's point of view.
So we'll see if we can find these pellets you were speaking about.
Yep. Okay, so I'm just looking on the ground now for the pellets, which as I described earlier on. So just
the
turn on the torch here to give us a look.
And they're kind of elongated, aren't they?
There, there's a spot just around the corner where I was here a couple of days ago. There's more of a chance of coming across them.
And we'll just go into what seems like an old room off the main room.
So you can see all the whitewash splashings, first of all. I mean, that's fairly obvious.
Oh yeah, it's like someone's been painting.
Exactly.
And that's the feces of the owl.
It is, yeah. So this is a barn owl pellet here, and this is actually a very fresh one, so this could even be from last night.
That's like, I don't know, it's like a huge big inch wide, 2 inch long.
It is, they are quite sizable. There's another one here.
Dark piece of mud, really.
Yeah, so they obviously, these are quite fresh, so as I was saying, they're black and glossy, but as they dry, they become greyer.
And a kind of musty smell.
Yeah, they do.
And if you open it...
So as you can see now, the contents, as I was saying, there's quite a lot of bones. There's a jawbone of a small rodent, possibly a field mouse.
I see, so it's a little bit like an otter sprint. I mean, it's just full of information.
It is, exactly. You can tell exactly what the owl's been eating just by looking through the pellets.
In any one night, how many rodents would an owl eat?
There's good demand now for the adults to bring back food, obviously, because the chicks are continuously begging for food. I'd say probably averages around 10 items of food at this stage.
They've benefited from the introduced bank vole, haven't they?
They have, yeah. The bank vole, where it is present, it's still expanding its range, but it is present around here, around North Tipperary, and it makes up about up to 20% of the barn owl diet where it is present.
Bank vole came around in the 1950s, didn't it?
Yeah, it did, yeah.
But actually benefiting our native
wildlife. Yeah, exactly. I mean, the barn owl has stood to benefit from it a great deal.
And this pellet is still very wet and
it is
dark.
Those two pellets are very fresh now, yeah.
So they're very fresh.
So as I'm saying, they're probably just from last night, yeah. You find a lot of bird remains actually in the pellets around here in this castle. And it's interesting, barn owls do tend to take birds as well, depending on the habitat and the season. It's generally in autumn that they tend to take birds, and it's generally communally roosting birds that they take.
Like what?
Generally starlings or house sparrows. There's a large starling roost just south of here.
And how would they take it on the wing? When the starlings are flying?
There's been a quite interesting method of the owls use for hunting communally roosting birds, which has been observed a few times in the UK. If the birds are roosting in a tree or a bush, the owl actually flies alongside the bush, just beating the outer branches with its wingtips, which causes the birds to flush out. And obviously, in that situation, in the darkness, the owl has the advantage and can pick them quite easily off the wing. So
they're good predators, aren't they?
They are indeed. Yeah. I mean, they're perfectly adapted for hunting at night. They have excellent vision and excellent hearing, and even by hearing alone they can pinpoint the exact position of their prey.
And this weird thing that their eyes are attached to their skull, so they have to move their head in order to see.
Yeah, well, they can rotate their head 180 degrees each way, so 360 degrees. So, and they also have binocular vision, so they can, with extreme accuracy, they can pinpoint their prey. So they really are perfectly adapted for their...
I remember being in Cornwall and going into an owl sanctuary and having this really strange experience of all these amazing different species just staring at you, and you feel paranoid. I mean, they follow you everywhere. How is their neck adapted so they can move it all the way around?
Yeah, well, as I said, they can rotate their head at 180 degrees, so their field of vision is basically 360 degrees. So, I mean, it is quite impressive in terms of their field of vision, yeah.
Because I read somewhere that they have something like 14 neck bones let them do that.
They do, yeah. So they're perfectly adapted for it, yeah.
I suppose that adaptation allows them, as you say, to catch these kind of animals.
Yeah. Yeah, it does, yeah. And other than that, I mean, their flight is almost completely silent, so you don't very often hear a barn owl flying. You'll see one flying over you, but it's almost, again, ghostly silent. Picks up any sound, it picks up exactly any vibrations it does. Their ears are very small, they're actually internal, so, I mean, they can pick up the sound excellently, but you can't actually see them. It's not like the tufts of the long-eared owl, the barn owl ears are concealed.
Let's go and see if we can then wait to see if any of these chicks start to come out and start making a bit of noise for us.
So the nest is just up here, just up through the chimney, so it's actually quite high. So it's actually up within the chimney space. A lot of the times they nest in crevices within the chimney, or where there have been jackdaws nesting before, they would have left a lot of nest material blocked up the chimney, and then it allows them to nest upon that.
What eats barn owls?
In Ireland, not a lot eats barn owls, but the only thing that might eat would be the chicks, and you might have mink or pine marten if it could access the nest.
Okay, so what's the best place for
we'll
us
just
to
go
sit
outside now, and we'll go up by the old barn, conceal ourselves a little bit, hopefully. On cue, the owlet should come out. We can just leave that for the moment.
How long have you been following this family?
I've been coming here for the last couple of weeks because I wanted to get an exact date that the chicks started to come out and try and work out what the first egg date was. I'm monitoring 5 sites locally around here, and this seems to be the most developed in terms of time-wise. The chicks seem to be at the most the later stage of development.
How likely is it they'd all survive?
Mortality for juvenile barn owls is quite high. A road collision seems to be quite detrimental for them.
That's interesting, because the image of a barn owl is, I mean, it's really informed by the Late Late Show for me, but you know, it is that very low swooping flight down.
Exactly. So obviously they any road that they come across, they do fly very low, as you say. So chances of collision and slow, so chances of collision are unfortunately quite high.
So we are going to sit and wait.
Yep, we will indeed.
you have been going around North Tipperary putting up nest boxes, because they are obviously, you know, there's not many old ruined castles and there's not many old barns left in front of
us. There's not, no, unfortunately. And one of the factors that have been shown to be at least implicated in baronial decline is the loss of natural nest sites. At least this gives us the opportunity to help benefit the population, help increase the population by installing artificial nest boxes.
Do you make them yourself?
I did start making them myself, but actually at the moment now, Portlaoise Prison have been kind enough, so they're actually I have a program operating in Portlaoise Prison now that they're actually making the nest boxes.
The prisoners,
which is,
are.
Yeah, they are. So it's great, and they actually do a better job than I do. So.
And what do they look like?
The quality is very good.
There's
two types of boxes. There's an exterior box which you put up in trees, and they're made out of marine ply, and they're an A-frame box. So basically, they're an apex box. You can install them on trees using nylon bolts. There's also another type of box which is it's more suitable for interior. So if you were installing it in an old building or putting up in a castle such as this, it's made of cedar wood. It's quite heavy, so you can't really put them up outside. But they're the two types of boxes we're using, the cedarwood boxes and the A-frame marine ply boxes.
And for people who are listening who live in the countryside and who might own a farm or whatever, I mean, is it just a matter of putting up these boxes and hoping?
You have to be careful where you place them. As I was saying, you have to take into account factors such as just the nearest distance to the road, because you don't want to place them so close to the road that if the barn owls do uptake the box, then there's obviously, once the owlets start dispersing, there's obviously the danger that road collision can occur. So you want to place them about 2 to 3 kilometres away from major roads. Country roads and whatnot are fine, but you want to keep them away from major roads. You can just hear them starting to wake up now. You can just hear the hissing.
No, can you?
Yep.
You mean the chicks are waking up?
Yeah, they're waking up inside. Just quieting down for a second now. They start to hiss and snore within the castle generally for...
So they're literally waking up. I mean, they would have been fast asleep.
Yeah. Well, we probably woke them up initially when we were rooting around the nest site. But in around this is like generally what happens in around this time. They're starting to become vocal, and then they might move around a little within the castle before coming outside. But the young owls as well are just getting to know the area, and they're just literally learning to fly and whatnot. So there's just two bats that just flew over our head very close.
Just above us. So they're waking up, and then their parents are going to come and start to feed them.
Yeah, the parents will start to bring food, and depending on how fast they catch the food, they generally come intervals of about maybe half an hour or so. And when they do come, I say they generally bring the food up close to the nest site, which is generally up at the top of the chimney.
So that's what we're looking for.
Yeah.
And I read that they have asymmetrical ears, and that the brain only responds to one sound at a time.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is interesting, I suppose, in terms of being a predator.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Looking after
it's so well
adapted.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. When they're foraging, just any rustling in the vegetation and anything like that might indicate that there's a small mammal or prey item moving around. They just hone in on that completely.
How do the owlets, if I was a child and my parents were bringing me food all the time, how do you ever learn how to make your own, to find your own food? I mean, how do they learn?
At this stage they should, as I said, they're kind of moving just away from the castle. When they emerge, they should be flying around the trees. And if they haven't left yet, when the parents bring them back food, they'd leave the food on the ground, or they'd leave it, let it loose from their talons in the air, and then let the young birds fly down, which just
gets them
exactly. So just teach them, and then they start going on short trips away from the nest site, following the parents out as they hunt, and slowly kind of learn basically how to be an owl, really. And it's interesting, once they actually kill their first prey item, that's when they tend to emit their first screech, which is the truly adult call. So it's the coming of age for the owl, really.
Then the parents saying enough. Yeah. Enough. You can leave now.
Yeah. Blackbird sending off an alarm call as well.
Should we start being quiet a bit?
Yeah, we should probably just quieten down a little bit just to make sure they come out. So you can just about hear the low hissing sound now.
It should
get louder as they go on. I just heard some faint hissing there. So we'll begin to hear some sounds from inside the castle.
And the familiar twit-woo sound.
No, that's a kind of a common misconception. That's associated with the tawny owl, which occurs over in the UK but doesn't occur here.
So they aren't the sounds that you hear in Ireland?
No. The most famed sound of the barn owl would be the screech, really, which is can be best described as kind of a blood-curdling scream. And no matter how many times I hear it, it'll manage to send a chill down my spine. But that's also associated with the legend of the banshee. So, I mean, if you do hear that, it's rather like a scream. There's no mistaking that.
And why do you think they're held in so much affection by everyone? Because they are. They're predators.
Yeah.
You don't see them that much.
No, I think it's. I mean, there's
Gay
quite
Byrne.
A few. Exactly. Gay Byrne's probably had a lot to do with it. The little 8-year-old. There we go now. There's just one that landed up.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
We just saw it fly away. Just
yeah, there we go now. There's just going the other side.
Oh,
of the
wow.
So that's likely. It's just gone out of view now, but it's likely to perch. And there's oak trees just to the. Just to the side of the castle. So.
How exciting. Just as we were talking, it flew behind the castle and then over. Is that the male then?
That's probably one of the adults. At this time of the year, it's very difficult to differentiate between the adults and the juvenile birds, especially in this light. That one of the main ways of telling them apart is that when you see a juvenile perching, they tend to bob their heads up and down quite a lot. And also with the calls, the juveniles will be kind of snoring and hissing, which is their begging food calls.
So the adult came out on the left-hand side, and the nest that we're looking at is on the right-hand side, on the top of the chimney.
Yep.
So the adult would have been a little bit away from where the chicks are.
Yeah, yeah.
How exciting. So they've gone off to hunt.
Yeah, exactly. And hopefully now, depending on how long it takes them to find prey, that they should come back with prey.
That was pretty impressive.
It was.
What we saw.
I mean, as I say, I mean, their flight is so beautiful.
They're
so
very
amazing.
Majestic.
They are.
And you saw these chicks 3 days ago, but there is a chance that they have gone. And where would they go?
They'll be flying off looking for habitats of their own and looking for habitats to take up. Once they choose a habitat, once they choose a nest site and an area, they generally tend to stay within that area for the remainder of their lives.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, so they're pretty site faithful. Yeah, even
they're
if
pretty
there
lazy.
Is
a, And how long do they live?
They're quite short-lived, actually. I mean, barn owls would only live for about 4 to 5 years, which is very
it's
short.
Not that much
it's
at
not
all.
At all, no. There's another one just flying up past. So that's just landing in the tree there.
That was incredible.
Yeah, so we just about caught a glimpse of that. That just came out the window, which is about halfway up the turret on the left-hand side.
You could see the lightness
exactly,
of the plumage.
That's great, because even when it is dark, I mean, they're so, as I said, ghostly white underneath that you still can see them perfectly. Just sort of move within the tree now, so I think it's gone flying off on the other side of the tree away from us. That hissing sound now from within, that's actually coming from. There we go. There's the bird.
Oh,
that's just landing on that. From the sound of that, that's probably the young bird of this year, an owlet.
And it's just on top of the chimney.
It's just looking straight down at us now. So it's facing us and looking straight down at us. So it's well aware that we're here.
Not impressed. It's like the sound of a zipper opening, isn't it? It is incredible.
So you can imagine if you do live quite, if there's a nest site quite close to your house, and if you have 3 or 4 owlets, and they're at their most vocal, if you can imagine if there's 3 of those, all calling, all begging for food. I mean,
how wonderful.
You wouldn't get much sleep that night, though. Just hear one actually just off in the distance now, another one.
Reaching its head off. And it's waiting for the parents to come back.
Yeah. The mother, even at this time, will still feed the chicks back at the nest site. So the nest site is obviously down that chimney there. She generally arrives back with food and lands on top of the chimney and feeds the chicks there.
And this little one is saying, I'm hungry.
Exactly, yeah. Come back a bit sooner.
Hurry up.
Exactly.
What an impatient little thing it is.
Stops very briefly, whichever chick's come closest and is making the most racket.
And
the
now
one that gets fed.
So the one that is still screeching hasn't been fed.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny?
Starting to kick, yeah, they, I mean,
it's just like a baby.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely remarkable.
It's
I mean,
amazing.
To hear them
spectacular view of the adults just above her head.